Our Old Testament reading is from the prophecy of Zechariah, chapter 9. We read from verse 9 following. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim, and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant to you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel of Mark. We read from chapter 11, verses 1 through to verse 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are doing this, tell him, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Amen. The prophet Zechariah declared, "Behold, your king comes to you, humble and riding on a donkey." Prophesied in the word of God that the day that we celebrate today would be one day fulfilled, when the promised Messiah would come to the city of Jerusalem and claim it as his own. Jesus, of course, fulfills that prophecy, the promised Messiah, the one long promised. Not only Zechariah, but Jeremiah, Isaiah, or most of the prophets of the Old Testament declare the coming of the promised one, the messianic hope that was given to the children of Israel in the midst of their sufferings and despair, that they would come one. But he didn't come as a warrior king, not as a political liberator, but as a servant king. Someone came in humility, whose authority is expressed through that humility, on the back of a foal, a donkey, not a war horse. Who came and then, before coming, wept over the city of Jerusalem and wept because he knew that within that city there were the needs of the people, the sadness of the people, the problems and concerns of an oppressed people. He knew that the day of salvation would soon come. That he came to fulfill this prophecy and receive the hosannas and the hallelujahs of the people who brought the palm branches and laid their cloaks before the little donkey and their received the acclamation of the people, who brought praise and adoration because they knew that here indeed was the promise. And how did they know, dear friends? How did they know? Who had been in the crowd that day? Surely there would have been the woman taken in adultery, you remember, the one who Jesus had picked up while the Pharisees and scribes and the religious people would have stoned her to death. She may well have been there. But it was Zacchaeus, the dreaded tax collector, the quisling, the hated one. Jesus had gone up to him and said, "I'm coming to your home, Zacchaeus." He would have been there. What about the woman at the well of Samaria? A long way for her to travel, but she may have been there. He gave to her the living water. She became the first missionary to tell others about the fact that she had met the Messiah. The disciples would have been there, the followers. What about Bethany? What about Lazarus? What about Mary and Martha? They would have been there. These people who had being touched by the very grace and healing power of the Messiah himself. What about Jairus, the synagogue ruler, who pleaded with Jesus to come and save his little girl because he knew that there was no other hope other than him? He was among the religious elite and he was there. That's why they knew. That's how they recognized that here was the messianic hope fulfilled in him who came to the acclamation of the people, the praise that they brought to him, because all that Jesus had accomplished already, from his baptism in the Jordan to the coming of the calling of the disciples to his own life of ministry, declaring the love and the compassion and grace of God. These people had been tied up in legalism in terms of religion. The Pharisees and scribes had come heavy upon them, but now they were sensing liberation. Now they were seeing that the hope that was grounded not in the austereness of the law, but in the grace of God that fulfills the law of loving God and loving your neighbour as you love yourself. That's what they recognised. That's what they knew. They met with the Messiah, the promised one, and we meet with him in our need this morning. We meet with him in our sorrows and sadness. We meet in a world where it is divided by wars and rumours of wars. We meet, and we meet in days that are dark, and yet he comes. He comes still to you and to me, to the world leaders who he challenges by his humility, by his grace and compassion, embarrassing their arrogance, their hatred and their greed. He comes to challenge you and me, that we might give our lives to him and follow him, that we too might be a means of grace and love and compassion to others along the way. He comes. So he comes on a donkey, a simple beast of burden. That was the throne of the one through whom all things would be made new. Dear friends, this Palm Sunday, let's celebrate that. That is the very nature and character of the messianic hope. Let's receive Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then they proclaimed their hosannas. It was like a massive gamanvagani there. Huh? They were, the amens were being proclaimed. Here was the one who was coming in the name of the Lord. Save us, we pray, is the meaning of hosanna. Their cry was sincere, but their understanding was incomplete. They longed for deliverance from Roman rule. The burdens of the day were upon them. But he, Jesus, was establishing a new kingdom, a kingdom that was not of this world, but a kingdom that would come, but a kingdom that this could be experienced in this world, where we seek to love and care for one another and free humanity from sin, fear, and even death itself. Dear friends, here we have it. In that crowd, the hosannas were being proclaimed. And that's why, dear friends, we sing our hosannas today. That's why we give praise and adoration today. Because the one who has come is worthy of the praise and adoration we offer. And that's why this Palm Sunday is dynamic in its message. Because this offers transformation. This offers new life, new hope, redemption, a desire for change that can be fulfilled and will be fulfilled in the one who came and lived and died and rose again for us. America had a No Kings Day yesterday. Did you see it in the news this morning? Yeah. Millions of people came out on the streets of America. They didn't want a king. Their republic is such that 250 years ago they decided they wanted to reject the monarchy. And that was their right. And the USA has a marvellous history, has it not, over the 250 years that have followed. But things are not as the people would want them to be. Why? I was thinking, no king. No king. We don't want a king. We don't want a king like Mr. Trump. We don't want hatred and enmity and fear and arrogance and selfishness and greed. We don't want it. That's what they were saying. We've had enough of it. Because it has to do with that which is reckless. It has to do with that which is a hungering for war and for arrogance and hatred. Good gracious me, there was one Baptist, I'm ashamed to say, a Baptist pastor in America last week was praying for the death of another Baptist pastor because his theological difference was there. What's happening? Why is it happening? Because the evil one is at work. Because there is a evil in the world. There's a darkness in the world. People came out and they said, we don't want a king. They didn't want that sort of king. What they were yearning for was the King of Righteousness, the King of Peace, the Lord of Lords, who came that day. The one who didn't come in arrogance and greed and contempt, but came in humility. They want to follow a different king one that was not of this world, but whose kingdom must be established in this world, if peace and reconciliation is to be the norm of the day. And that's why, dear friends, this passage of Palm Sunday is a dynamic message for our world. Imagine a world where the kingdom of Christ reigns, where those who are far away have been brought near, where the outcast and the migrant is seen not as someone who is an enemy, but someone who needs to be cared for. What about a society that is not drunk on greed and materialism, where billionaires make their billions and billions and billions, and yet many do not know have enough money to put food on the table? This king came to change things. He came to establish a kingdom of righteousness and justice and peace and fair play for all, where we love God and we love our neighbour, breaking down the barriers that divide us and bringing us in the ways of righteousness and truth. That's why he came. That's why he came. And he came to establish this kingdom. When we were in Lakeview School down the road there, we used to sing a hymn, "Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run." I've said this many times, I know. You're probably fed up of hearing it. "Thy kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more." I didn't know what wax and wane meant. I know what it means now. "Till the kingdom of God will be from shore to shore, and the kingdom of God will come." And that's the promise. The kingdom of heaven will come on earth as it is in heaven. When that reign of justice and peace and reconciliation will be proclaimed to the furthest corners of earth. When we bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The crowds came. They recognized a king who they needed, who they longed for, to bring them deliverance. And we long for his coming. We long that this world will come to know him and follow his ways. We as the church are the vanguard of the kingdom of God. We go before the world to show a better way than the ways of the bullet and the bomb and the arrogance and greed which we see so much in the world today. Dear friends, we come as those who would proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And then we come, because this is a personal message, I believe, to us all. We come. We come because we know that here is the one who can make all the difference in our lives. I remember, do you remember the coronation? I'm old enough to rush it. I was very, very young, okay? I was very, very young. I was just out of nappy. No, I was a bit older than that. But my gran is to live in Queen Victoria Road, down here, and Queen Elizabeth and the Duke of Edinburgh had recently been crowned, and they came to Llanelli for a visit. You're far too young to remember that. And there's a picture I should show it to you one day. And there I am in the front room upstairs of my gran's house, and I got a little thing I made in school to wave, you know, made out of crepe paper. And there I am in the window of my gran, and the picture just catches the car going by. And it's got a lovely view of the house, and there I am upstairs, and all the streets are full in front of the house. A lot of our family members are in the front garden, and we're all waving away. My gran had made a lovely tea. She really had sandwiches and cakes, and I was looking forward to it, you know. But I thought the Queen was coming to tea. I really did. I was convinced. I thought, my gran has never made anything like this before. She must be somebody very special coming to tea. So the car went by. In a moment, it was gone. And I said to my gran, "Where's the Queen? I thought she was coming to tea." And she said to me, "Grow up, good boy." I thought she was coming to tea. I was disappointed. I wanted to meet with her. I've never met the Queen. Never met the Duke of Edinburgh. No, never met any important people like that, really. But you and I have met with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You and I have met with Jesus. You and I have come to a relationship with him. And those who are new to the faith and those who are coming to be baptized, I want you to know that that is the relationship you will have with him. And he will come and he will sup with you. He will show himself to you and he will declare his attentions to you because he loves you. And when he knew, coming to the city of Jerusalem, that what would lie before him was not an easy path. In fact, it was the path of suffering. The crowds who proclaimed hosannas in their frailty would proclaim, "Crucify him one day." You'd be led to a cruel cross and be nailed to that cross. And in those words from the cross, he would fulfill everything that he declared in his life. "Father, it is finished. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Such grace, such love that meets with us. He knew when he entered that city exactly what was before him. But did he hold it back? No, it didn't. He went to the cross. He died in pain and agony to reconcile the world unto himself. He came to establish a kingdom not of this world, but yet a kingdom that is established in the groundwork that we have shared already, that there is a hope for this world when we turn to him and trust and believe in his ways. But one day we will be with him in eternity. That is the promise of the given to the saints of God. That relationship you have with the King of Kings will lead one day into his very presence. Yeah. Because he has promised it. Because he said in that upper room, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I am going to prepare a place for you." And what else did he say to suffering disciples? "Peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust, believe in me." Those were words that the same week that this event happened. It is all the collective grace of God that we see in him and him alone. The joyous hope that we have in Christ. And so we do not want the kings of this world. We do not want to be part of the kingdoms that have to do with injustice, hatred, fear, enmity, destruction. But we long for a kingdom that will come one day. And as the church and as his people, we are in this community of faith to show that there is a better way. There is a kingdom that is not of this world. There is a king who will come in glory one day, who died upon the cross and was raised on the third day, that we might have eternal life, and that we might know that through all this, that God is love. Love to the undeserving. Love that wilt not let us go. Love that traces the rainbow through the rain and gives us the assurance the promise is not vain, the dawn shall tearless be. Love that we celebrate this Holy Week because we have a King who is not of this world, but a King who is indeed the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, dear friends, on this Palm Sunday, let's give thanks for the one who came. Let's give thanks that he came in humility and riding on a donkey. His coming to Jerusalem was not an accident of circumstance, but a deliberate revelation of his identity. Not as a warrior king, but came to meet with you and I, to extend his rule of love and compassion and grace over us all. Remember the crowd, dear friends, who proclaimed Hosanna. Remember those who were there, lives had been touched by grace. Those who had seen and beheld that which they couldn't fully understand, but which they accepted because they stood in the presence of the promised Messiah, the Holy One, the one who humbled himself and the one who knelt low to meet with the lost and the lonely and the sad. And dear friends, as Jesus was obedient, may we too follow the path of obedience by seeking to follow him day by day. Christ teaches us the ways of discipleship here, of following faithfully in his ways, following the ways of the one who came to bring salvation and joy to our lives, but also challenges us not to pass by on the other side as we see the needs in the world around us, to meet with the lost and the lonely, the bereft and the sad, and to make his kingdom principles known as much as we can as his people and as his church. But dear friends, next Sunday, God willing, we're going to sing that hymn. Yeah? "Up from the grave he arose. Up from the grave he arose," you know, "with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose." Well, Christopher knows one of the hymns for next Sunday morning. up from the grave he arose, the King of Kings, the Lord of all. Death could not hold him. The grave has no victory. He is our coming King. And here in this place, we proclaim him King, Saviour and Lord. And thank God that while we were once sinners, Christ died for us. Let us lift our songs of adoration and praise to our coming King. Amen.